Well, shalom, y'all. Thank you for joining us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we're going to jump into a teaching from this week's Torah portion. This week we are reading a two-portion reading and we are finishing the book of Numbers. So I've chosen a passage here out of Numbers chapter 31 and we're going to start here with verse 1. It says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Avenge the people of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, Arm men from among you for the war, that they may go against Midian to execute Yahweh's vengeance on Midian. You shall send 1,000 from each of the tribes of Israel to the war. So there were provided out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe together with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the vessels of the sanctuary and the trumpets for the alarm in his hand. They warred against Midian as Yahweh commanded Moses and killed every male. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of their slain, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. And they also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. And the people of Israel took captive the women of Midian and their little ones. And they took as plunder all their cattle, their flocks, and all their goods. All their cities and the place where they lived and all their encampments they burned with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the plunder, both of man and of beast. Then they brought the captives and the plunder and the spoil to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the congregation of the people of Israel at their camp on the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. So here in this passage, we're reading how Yahweh instructs Israel to go to battle against Midian. Now, if you remember, Midian first comes into the picture, the Midianites, with the story of Balaam and Balak. Remember, Balak hires Balaam to come and to curse Israel because he is afraid of the nation of Israel because he has heard what they have done. And of course, Balaam does not curse Israel, but he speaks a blessing over Israel instead. Thus, you know, Yahweh changing the curse into a blessing, Yahweh protecting his people. But then we read in the story of Phinehas of how he stands for the righteous zeal of God, because when the curse did not happen, what we read and what we can kind of see from other passages of scripture is it seems that Midian, in return, lays a trap for the people of Israel. And it seems to have come as an idea or a recommendation from Balaam himself. And the fact that he says, well, I can't speak a curse over them, but what you can do is entice them with your gods and with your pagan ways. So they corrupted Israel. They brought compromise into the camp of Israel. So thus, Israel rebelled against Yahweh and his commands. They worshiped other gods. They forsook Yahweh, the God who brought them out of Egypt to worship the gods of the Midianites. So here in this passage, Yahweh is taking revenge against Midian for playing that role of enticement, of being that stumbling block to Israel. So something to kind of think of ourselves is to, as a warning, is to not to be a stumbling block unto other people, because Yahweh does not like when we are a stumbling block, when we cause his people to stumble. So we want to be wary. We want to be careful. We want to be on guard and alert of those things, those compromises we may have in our life, or those things that we may do that sets a stumbling block before other people, because he does frown upon that. Yeshua even gives a warning unto those that are a stumbling block, that causes those to stumble. And Paul himself would even warn us about being a stumbling block as well. Now, remember, Phinehas dealt with the sin that was in the camp. So once the sin was dealt with and the compromise was done, the evil is gone, the sin is gone, the wickedness is gone. It has been purged. The uncleanness has been purged out of the camp. Now Yahweh seeks revenge on the Midianites. And we see here in this passage, even though there were thousands of Midianites, there were a large camp of them, they were fearful of Israel. They are beaten in war by Israel. Why? Because Yahweh was with them. His blessing was with them. He was fighting for them. Okay? So they plunder the Midianites. Now, what I want to look at next is a passage here in Judges chapter 6. And we're going to read some passages here regarding the story of Gideon. Because remember, Gideon's story, again, goes with the Midianites. So we see a group of people here that Israel goes to war against, and they win, and they are victorious against these people when Yahweh is with them. And now we're going to see here in the story as it starts that Israel now is being held captive by this very same group of people that they had once defeated in war. So what was the difference? Why are they held captive? Why are they fearful? What is different in this situation to them defeating them as we close out the book of Numbers? So let's look at Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh. And Yahweh gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted. So that they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out for help to Yahweh. So here we see in chapter 6, we went from Israel plundering the Midianites to now the Midianites are plundering Israel. And Israel are actually hiding themselves in caves. And they are hiding their crops with them in the caves. They are secretly threshing their crops in places so that the Midianites and the Amalekites would not see them threshing their crops because they were coming and plundering their food, their crops. They were plundering that which they were threshing. They were plundering their livestock. They were taking everything that they had. And it says here in this passage that they came up like locusts. They came in such a way that they could not even be counted. You could not even count the camels that they had with them. They were so numerous in the way that they were coming against Israel. And this passage tells us in verse 1 why this is occurring. Because the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh. They had turned their back on Yahweh. They were walking in disobedience to his Torah and his commands. They were no longer worshiping him. We're going to see here later on in the story that they were even worshiping the pagan gods of the land at the time. So they were no longer worshiping Yahweh. They were no longer following his commands, doing that which was righteous. And they were following the gods of the world. You could say they were walking as the world walked. So the blessing of Yahweh was taking off of the hand of Israel. His protection was taking off of the hand of Israel. He was bringing his discipline to Israel. When we get off course, when we walk in disobedience, when we forsake his commands, and we begin to pursue the gods of this world, when we begin to pursue to walk in the ways of this world, to be conformed unto this world instead of being set apart from this world, we put ourselves in a place where our loving Father has to come along and he needs to bring discipline into our life. And one of the ways that he brings discipline is how he did with Israel. He took his hand of protection off of them. So then they begin to reap what they have sowed. They're sowing evil. They're sowing disobedience. So they're now going to begin to reap from their disobedience. The protection, like I said, is gone. Now they're going to be fully exposed unto the evil one. The evil one now has access to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what we see here in this passage. The evil one was coming to steal, kill, and destroy from Israel. So when we begin to walk in disobedience, we allow ourselves to be opened up to the evil one, and then he's able to come and steal, kill, and destroy things that are within our lives. And those things are happening because we have forsaken our God. We have forsaken his ways. We have chosen to walk in our own ways. We have chosen to walk in the ways of the world, being conformed unto the world, instead of conforming unto his ways or being transformed into his ways. See, we have been called to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. We are to walk just as he walked, and we accomplish that in our lives. First of all, by having a belief in Yeshua, being redeemed by his blood. Then we receive his spirit within inside of us. And then we learn his word. We learn his commands, his Torah, the instructions he has given us. And then by walking in obedience to his commands, which we are able to accomplish by the empowerment of his spirit will teach us and his spirit will empower us to walk in righteousness. And in that way, we are able to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. We're able to walk as he walked. And then we find ourselves underneath his covering, in his blessing. And the enemy at that moment in time is scared of us. He flees, he runs from us. Just as Israel defeated the Midianites, as we read first in the book of Numbers. But if we forsake his Torah, if we forsake his spirit, and we decide instead to be conformed unto this world, or to give in to the lust of our flesh and to do as our flesh desires, and we seek the desires of our flesh, instead of seeking his righteousness and his Torah and walking in obedience to it, then we put ourselves in a place where his blessing is removed. And then the enemy can come and still kill and destroy from us, and we will find ourselves in the position that Israel was, as we read here in Judges chapter 6. So let that be a warning unto us of what happens when we purposefully and willfully rebel against his commands and his ways and his purpose, and instead seek the desires of our flesh and choose to walk in conformity unto this world instead of being transformed into the righteousness of Yeshua. Let's continue on here with verse 7. It says, when the people of Israel cried out to Yahweh on account of the Midianites, Yahweh sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt, I brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am Yahweh your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. So let's start with verse 7 here. It says, the people of Israel cried out to Yahweh because of the oppression that they were feeling from the Midianites. So the discipline of Yahweh came to Israel. So now they're being persecuted. Now they're feeling oppression. And now they remember their God. And now they cry out to God for help. And we see here in this passage the mercy and compassion and forgiveness of Yahweh. Even though this people had turned their back on him and forsaken him, when they cried out unto him, he still heard their cry. And he still comes to bring relief and help to Israel. That is the God we serve. So even though we may turn our back to his righteousness, to his commands and his Torah, and purposefully and willfully seek the desires of our flesh or the ways of this world and being conformed unto this world, when we begin to receive his discipline, and when the enemy begins to come in and to steal, kill, and destroy, and when we're getting pressed and beaten down by the evil one, because that's what he does. Sin can be pleasurable for a season, but there is no joy in that sin. And when we're in the despair that's going to come from walking in the lust of our flesh, we can cry out for help, and our God, who is merciful, will still hear us. And he will still come to our response. Now, listen to what he says in verse 10. I am Yahweh your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites, but you have not obeyed my voice. So he's telling them, this is why you are experiencing what you are experiencing. You have turned your back on me. Instead of fearing me, you have feared the gods of the Amorites. You have not obeyed my voice. So that is why you are experiencing the persecution that you are experiencing. So when we cry out for help, his conviction, his spirit is going to come. And he is going to tell us why we are experiencing what we're experiencing. Because his discipline is to bring correction. So he's going to come and point and say, this is what I need for you to correct in your life. Are you willing to make the correction in your life? And if we're willing to make that correction, then his deliverance and his healing will come unto his people. And we're going to see here in this passage that Israel did exactly that, being led by Gideon himself. Remember, the point of his discipline, the reason why he removes his blessing and he allows the enemy to attack us, is to get our attention. It's for us to cry out for help so that he can point out the thing that we need correction. His discipline is meant to bring repentance. And repentance is not to say, I'm sorry for doing it and continue doing it and to ask for forgiveness. Repentance is confess what we've done wrong, to receive forgiveness for what we have done wrong, and then to have a 180, to turn aside from what we're doing, to cease from walking in that sin, to cease from seeking the desires of our flesh, and to stop seeking conformity unto this world, and instead to seek his righteousness, to seek his kingdom. We are to seek his righteousness first. That is the point of his correction, his discipline, is to gain repentance from us to turn and seek his ways, to cling unto his ways again, to hate that which is evil, and to love his ways, to depart from what is evil, to no longer walk in evil ways, in the ways of this world, in the ways of our flesh, but to walk in his righteousness, or to walk in obedience to his commands and his Torah. That is his heart. That is his desire. And the reason he seeks that is because he is a loving father, and he loves us, and he knows what's best for us, and he knows that when we walk in obedience to his word and his righteousness, then we will truly experience joy. We will truly experience the blessings and peace that we can experience in this life. It doesn't mean that life will be perfect and easy all the time. We will still face trials. We will still go through hard times and in the valley. But even in the valley, even through the hard times and dark times, we can experience his shalom, his blessing, and his peace. We will not experience his shalom, blessing, and peace if we are rejecting his ways and clinging to the ways of the world, clinging to the gods of this world, seeking the pleasures of our flesh. If we're walking in that, then we will not experience his blessing and shalom. Instead, we are going to experience fear and trembling and hiding, because we're going to be living in a way in which the enemy is constantly attacking us, stealing from us, trying to destroy us. That is what we're going to be living under, fear. Let's look at verse 11. Now the angel of Yahweh came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him and said to him, Yahweh is with you, O mighty man of valor. So here in this passage, we see Israel has cried out for help. So Yahweh sends his angel to see Gideon. This is the man he has chosen to bring salvation to Israel. And at the time, we see Gideon is beating out his wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites so they would not come and steal the wheat that he was beating out. So we see he is hiding from the Midianites. So Yahweh has chosen Gideon. He says to him, O mighty man of valor. So we see the way Yahweh sees Gideon, a mighty man of valor. But it's very interesting that Gideon would see himself differently than Yahweh sees him. How often is that the case with us? That Yahweh comes unto us and calls us mighty man of valor, but we don't believe it. We don't think we're capable of doing that which he has called us to do, that which he has put upon our lives to carry out. We think that we're not capable. We want to disqualify ourselves. We want to point at all the things that we have done that disqualifies us. Every time we've missed the mark, all of our failures, all of our shortcomings, all of our weaknesses. Remember, Moses responded similar when he was called. He responded with, I can't speak. But Yahweh sees what he has placed inside of us. And sometimes we have a hard time seeing it. But we need to be able to ask him to give us the eyes to be open and see that which he has placed inside of us, the gifting, the anointing that he has placed inside of us, his spirit living inside of us. Because when he calls us to do something, he puts his spirit on us. We're not carrying it out upon our own flesh and our own ability, but we're doing it by the help of his spirit, because he has placed his spirit inside of us. He has placed his giftings inside of us and his anointing upon us. And it's by his spirit that we are able to carry out the task and the assignment that he has given us. Let's look at verse 13. We see Gideon's response here. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if Yahweh is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where were all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not Yahweh bring us up from Egypt? But now Yahweh has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And Yahweh turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So what was Gideon's assignment? What was he called to do? He was called to save Israel from the hand of Midian. That is what I have sent you to do. That is why I am coming unto you. So Yahweh has heard the cries of Israel. In his kindness and in his mercy, he responds to their cry. He finds a man that he can trust to do the assignment and the task that he needs in order to save Israel. Can we be a person that Yahweh can save and trust to carry out the assignment that he would have us to carry out in these last days? For us to be a voice crying out for people to repent, crying out for people to stop worshiping the gods of this world, to stop walking in conformity to this world, to stop rejecting God's righteousness, but to embrace his righteousness, to embrace his one and only Son who came and died upon that cross for our sins, whose blood was shed so that we could be cleansed from all of our uncleanness. So all that which disqualified us is now done away with. It's cleansed, it's gone, it's covered by his blood. And our merciful and loving Father in heaven no longer sees our failures, but he sees the blood of Yeshua. So now we need to be a voice crying out for people to embrace Yeshua as their Lord and Savior, as their Redeemer, as their Messiah, to put their faith in him. And once upon putting their faith in him, to embrace the righteous ways of Yahweh, to begin to walk in his ways, to forsake the conformity of this world and to be transformed into his image. If people are going to be saved in the last days, if people are going to turn aside from the evil ways of this world and embrace God's righteousness, we need some Gideons. We need some people to see and understand that they are mighty men or women of valor, and that God has placed his Spirit upon them, and he has placed an assignment upon them to go by his Spirit, with his Spirit, with the giftings and the anointing that he has placed upon his people to save them in order for them to turn from their wicked ways. We need to see ourselves as God sees us, as mighty men and women of valor, not as Gideon spoke of himself. How can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest, and I'm in the least of my father's house. He didn't think he was qualified to do it. He didn't think he had the ability to do it. When God gives us the assignment, we need to not respond as Gideon responded, saying, "Who am I? How can I accomplish this? I don't have the ability." Because see, it's not about our ability. It's not about our past. It's not about our family. It's not about any of that stuff. What it's about is the fact that he has placed his Spirit upon us, and he has called us to do something. And if he has called us to do something, then his Spirit will be there, and his grace will be sufficient enough for us to carry out the task and the assignment that he has given us. So we need to trust what he says about us and not what we think about ourselves, especially if we're going to make an impact in these last days. Let's look at verse 28. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah beside it was cut down. And a second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And after they had searched and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Then the men of the town said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself. because his altar has been broken down. Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, that is to say, let Baal contend against him because he broke down his altar. Now, all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of Yahweh clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abizrites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers all throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. So in this passage, we start off and we see that Gideon had gone out at night. He cut down the altar of Baal and he cut down the Asherah poles or the trees. Okay. So what does he do? The first thing upon given an assignment by God was to purge out the sin that was in the land. The first step to Israel being free from the captivity of the Midianites was for them to purge out the sin from their camp. When we are under discipline, when we are under persecution from the evil one, we need to stop and take a look and see what is in my life that I need to purge out. Where's the sin? Where's the rebellion? Where am I resisting his Holy Spirit? Where am I resisting his righteous ways? And instead of walking in his ways, I'm walking in desires of my flesh, or I'm seeking the conformity of this world. Where am I compromising? We need to search for those things, and we need to get rid of that compromise. We need to get rid of that sin, of that rebellion, of where we are resisting his ways. That's step number one to experiencing, you could say, that revival or that coming back to Yahweh, coming back to walking with him and walking in his presence and dwelling with him and being in his joy and being back underneath his blessing. Israel was no longer under the covering of Israel. And in order for them to get back underneath the covering of Israel, they first had to purge out that which was evil in the camp. Now, it's interesting because Gideon goes out and purges that which was evil, but the camp, they weren't very happy, and they were willing and wanting to put him to death. People are not always going to respond very openly when we get rid of sin, when we call out sin, when we call out for repentance. There will be those who will hate that message. There will be those who do not want to give up their ways, who do not want to give up walking in the lust of their flesh and resisting God's ways. And they will respond in hate, just as Gideon's own people responded in hate to him. But as we see, Joash stood up against them, and he stood up for Gideon. And so we see that the evilness gets cleansed from the land. And now that the evil has been cleansed from the land, now they begin to assemble an army so that they can actually go out and free themselves from the oppression of the Midianites or the evil ones. Let's look at Judges chapter 7 and verse 7. And Yahweh said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand and let all the others go, every man to his home. So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night, Yahweh said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp of Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people to the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance. And their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. So Gideon goes and he assembles an army. But Yahweh tells Gideon, your army is too large. And he goes, I want you to bring these men to the brook and have them drink. And the ones who lap the water are the ones who's going to be the ones that are going to be in the army who will save you from the hand of the Midianites. And it turned out to be 300 men. Yahweh chose Gideon and he chose 300 men to save them from the Midianites who numbered so great that they could not be counted. Why? Because Yahweh wanted to make sure that Israel knew that they were being delivered by the hand of their God and not by their own strength. It is important for us to understand that we are not delivered from sin by the strength of our own selves, but by the hand of God himself. We cannot be saved from sin apart from belief in Yeshua. We cannot walk in righteousness apart from the help of his Holy Spirit. We cannot attain our salvation by our own ability and strength. We must rely upon him. And that is what he's teaching Israel. I am going to deliver you from Midian, but it's going to be by my hand and not by your hand. Same thing with sin. I will deliver you from sin. You can walk in my righteousness. You can walk in obedience to my Torah, but it's not going to be by your strength. It is not going to be by your ability, by your determination, but it is going to be by my spirit. Let's look at verse 13. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and it turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. So in God's mercy, he allows Gideon to see and hear that his enemy is fearful of him. And the reason his enemy is fearful of him is because he is now walking in covenant with the Almighty God of Israel. And his blessing is upon him. So the God of Israel has placed a fear of Gideon in his enemy's heart. That is the mercy and love of our God. He allows Gideon to see, look, these people you were once fearful of, in fact, they are fearful of you. When we're walking in disobedience and rebellion, we get so mixed up, so reversed, and our minds are so off track that we become fearful. And we're fearful of our surroundings and of the evil one, our enemy. And he is attacking us and he is persecuting us, stealing, killing, and destroying from us, when all in fact he is fearful of us. If we would just repent and embrace Yahweh and trust him and allow him to bring deliverance in our lives, we would see that the evil one, in fact, is fearful of us. So let this encourage you. In this passage, 300 men defeated an army that was too large to count because God was with them. When we walk with God, He is with us. There is no sin that is too strong for us to defeat if we rely upon Him and not upon ourselves. There's no behavior, there's no mood, there's no belief system, there's no temptation that we can face that is too strong for us to defeat with the help of our loving Father. And in His mercy, in His grace, He will come and He will help us. And by His Spirit, we can defeat those things in our lives if we learn to rely upon Him instead of learning to rely upon ourselves, upon our strength, our might, and our self-determination. Well, we are so glad that you have joined us this week. We hope that you come back again next week, because we will be back with a teaching from next week's Torah portion. And next week, we will be starting the book of Deuteronomy. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.